Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The only thing less popular than putting money into banks is putting money into the auto industry.
You're sitting here and you are laughing about some of these problems. Are people going to look at this and say, I mean, he's sitting there just making jokes about money. With them. How do you deal with it? I mean, explain the your mood and your laughter.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be...
Are you punch drunk?
No, there's got to be a little gallows humor to get you through the day.
It is the Savage Nation. Well, at least somebody in the midstream media stood up to the imposter. Not only does the king have no clothes, apparently the king has no brains. How long it'll be until America wakes up is another story. You drive around liberal places like Marin County, California, and see pimply-faced kids. I guess they were born in male bodies, but God knows what they are inside. With Obama bumper stickers who can't park their car, hitting the hubcaps, hitting the wheel. But they're geniuses at politics because mommy taught them. You know, there's no fathers around in Marin. There may be men in the house, but there are no fathers. But it's amazing to me that finally somebody said to this guy, are you punch drunk? Today we're going to talk about the punch drunk president. We're going to talk about, are you on Obama's list of domestic terrorists? You're not going to believe this when I tell you about it. But they have created a new entity called Fusion Centers. And if you supported a third-party candidate such as Ron Paul, or you are an anti-abortion individual, the government's Department of Homeland Security may have you marked for a detention camp. Now, this was not started by Obama. It was started by the sneaky, lizardy, phony George Bush in 2004. And although Bush, the lizard, started these centers, and you may be on this list of domestic terrorists, it will be Obama who will finish it. We're also going to talk about the Oakland police massacre. Over the weekend, if you may remember, or you may not know about it because of the vermin in the local newspapers where you live, four decent American policemen were shot dead by a violent criminal who was out on parole. And the local newspaper, which is losing $1 million a day, this piece of garbage newspaper ran a headline, said, he shot the cops because he was afraid to go back to jail. They actually had more sympathy for the verminous scum who did it than for the dead policeman. How the cops take this, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know how anyone takes it anymore. But anyway, we're going to talk about the Oakland police massacre, the vermin in the media, and ask you whether you think the ACLU should be arrested for accessory to murder. As well as a local lawyer who has sued the police to the point where they are afraid to draw their guns. That's right. There's a local lawyer who belongs in, who should be tried as an accessory to murder for having made the police incapable of defending themselves. You know, my headline about this police massacre, I've been upset all weekend, is very clear. The headline says, Libs killed four cops with rules of engagement. The new rules of engagement are the same ones that Bush imposed on our Marines. The rules of engagement for the cops are die first, shoot later. The news is very horrible. We have a punch-drunk idiot for a president. We have out-of-control murderers who will kill our police because they know they can get away with murder. We have a Boy Scout, or shall I say a Girl Scout, running the Treasury Department. And there's very little hope out there. But on Friday on the Savage Nation, I celebrated my 15th year in radio. It wasn't exactly that day. Saturday would have made 15 years in radio. 15 long, wonderful years, the longest running show of its type in radio right now. I think it is right now. Is it the longest running show? No, it wouldn't be. I guess the golfer has been on longer than I have. But it's a very long time for somebody who is as daring as I am, and a very long time for someone who they said wouldn't last a day because they said I was too New York, I was too outspoken. 15 years because of you. We celebrated that on Friday. Well, I had several people on the show, and the best guest was the person you're about to hear because everyone asked for a replay. Play it now. Who's Janet, my wife? Janet, welcome to the Savage Nation. Well, you've been with this show from day one. How are you?
Yes, I have.
And what do you think? Did you think I'd last 15 years?
Michael, you'll last 100 years.
Oh, stop it.
Nobody could beat you on the radio. You're the best.
Well, that's true. I am the best in the radio business. But in the beginning, people don't realize you were my producer. Do you remember before the internet you had to go out and get magazines?
At 7 o'clock in the morning, I would get on the freeway and drive up and buy newspapers. Yes.
What are they? What is a newspaper? Mommy, what's a newspaper?
Right. It's like the old times. It's like talking about, before World War II.
Yeah, but you and I, we both grew up on newspapers. In fact, you still read the Wall Street Journal. You bring it home at night from your hectic business day. I love that newspaper, by the way. It's actually a very good newspaper. What do you think the show, how has the show evolved in your mind? Speak honestly. Don't be afraid. I won't be mad at you forever.
Of course.
Well, with me, just one wrong mistake, I'll it'll blow right over me. I won't hear it.
Right. Quick to anger, quick to forgive. Okay.
Yeah.
The main thing with you is I'm amazed when I listen back to the program from the very beginning. You are the same man. Your honesty and your truth has always been the shining light of your program. And people would say to me, how does he do it? And I go, because he always tells the truth. He never makes it up. And so he doesn't have to remember what lie he told because he's always telling the truth. And people have a really good ear. I think the radio is an amazing medium because the human ear is very sensitive to truth and lie and fiction. And I think the reason you've been so successful and why you continue to be so successful is not only your oratorical skill, which is just unparalleled, but your ability to tell a story and command the attention and the intelligence of your audience that they understand what you're talking about. You're a natural-born teacher.
Why don't you ever say this to me in the house? Why do you save it for the radio once a year?
Husbands never hear what their wives say.
In other words, in the house, I never hear this. All I hear from you is, don't bother me with the radio. I didn't have time today. I was busy working. But all of a sudden, you hear every show, apparently.
I'm your biggest fan. You know that.
Anyway, I don't want to take time out of your busy day. I want to thank you for being behind me. The truth is, I couldn't have done it without you. That's absolutely true.
Well, that's very, very, very sweet. And thank you.
How come I never say that to you in the house?
Well, because we have an audience right now. So
we're being nice right now. we're acting nice. Well, you know what? It's nice to act nice. Why not? We could be like Dale Evans and Roy Rogers if we wanted.
There you go.
As opposed to throwing meatloaf on the wall.
Yeah, well, we could watch reruns of Lassie, too.
Hey, before you go, did you hear what the guys made for me of Teddy barking happy birthday?
Did. That was just adorable. Here we go. Michael really could.
Ah, come on. You say to me, why am I so sarcastic when I say things to you? And you say to me, why are you sarcastic? And I say, it's in my nature. You don't accept the fact that I'm a sarcastic personality.
I do. I accept everything
okay.
about you.
No, it's very easy to live with, as you well know. Sarcasm is really easy to live with. The minute you try it on me, you see how easy I love it, how much I love it.
That's why we're together.
Oh, yeah. All right. It's paradise. Hey, thanks for the call.
Congratulations.
I'll get back to you.
Congratulations.
Unbelievable. Behind every successful man, there is a woman telling me he's a schmuck.
Savage.
Terrible story over the weekend is four Oakland police officers were executed by Lovell Mixon. Lovell Mixon, who was in and out of prison most of his life. He was released on parole in November because a liberal scum like you. And two Oakland motorcycle officers pulled this piece of human trash over Saturday afternoon. He opened fire and shot them in the face, killing them. Later, two SWAT officers who stormed the apartment who did not fire first for fear they'd be sued by pieces of garbage with law degrees, two SWAT men were killed because of filth like you, lawyers, who did this to them. I don't know how the cops take it. At 34 minutes after the hour, we're going to have Attorney General Jerry Brown on the show, who was on once before, and he and I agree 100% on this particular case. He has some solutions here. I want you to understand that these cops were killed because of liberals like you. Las Vegas, Teddy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
And two Oakland motorcycle officers pulled this piece of...
Teddy, you're on the radio. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. I was just making a comment about... I don't think there's nothing wrong with videotaping police officers due to the fact that if they're not doing anything wrong, then they have nothing to worry about.
That's nice. So, in other words, you're glad the four of them were killed?
Oh, I'm not glad by any means, but...
Well, sounds like you're sympathetic to Lovell Mixon. Are you sympathetic with Lovell Mixon? Next, you'll argue he shouldn't have been stopped, right?
Well, I think you're kind of comparing apples and oranges by saying that, you know, police officers need to be watched as well because they're only human and they make mistakes just like everybody else.
Yeah, well, that's true. I think they should be disarmed as well, Teddy, because that way you can have more of them dead and then you can celebrate even further.
Well, let's face the facts, and this is an FBI statistic, 90% of the time police officers are there after the rape has been committed, after the robbery, you know, they're there after the fact. My opinion?
Well, that's right. Well, there's, you know what's even a better idea, Teddy? I think not only should we disarm the police, I think we should eliminate police in America. Because right now the great Obama God is watching over all of us. There's no need for police. According to your thinking, we should have no police at all.
No, I believe that there's a place for police, but I think people should be themselves.
There are? There's a place for police, Teddy? Where is that, 6 feet under?
No, not at all. Not by...
How many years did you serve of hard time?
Me? I've never spent hard time.
Well, it sounds like you don't like police at all for some reason.
I just believe police are people and they make mistakes too. Like, for example, here in Las Vegas, a few years ago, two police officers took it upon themselves to go do a drive-by shooting and they killed somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you agree that that's something the police officers...
I never heard about that story. I guess that's something that happens very often in Las Vegas, that police do drive-bys.
Well, the point is that it
was that part. What was that part of the diversity hiring policies of the Las Vegas Police Department? They were forced to hire people from out of the country in order to satisfy liberals like you?
Actually, I consider myself a conservative.
Oh, sure. All right. Well, different strokes for different yokes. Thanks for the call. Different strokes for different yokels. San Diego, Jerry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, but my cousin is a cop. He said those guys made a big mistake. Even number one, they should have been, one of them should have been watching those, that guy. He would have, should have never got out of the car. Number one, there's two police officers there, motorcycle cops, and the SWAT team did a huge mistake. They must have went in there blazing. He said that, you know, it was just, the whole thing was just a mix up, a screw up.
Well, what do you mean they went in blazing? What does that mean?
My cousin, he's a San Diego PD. He just said that he told me that they just went in there. They must have went in there blazing. They didn't have the shields up.
Well, your cousin is a schmuck. Your cousin doesn't know what he's talking about. Thanks for the stupid call. No, the cops went in on the SWAT team after this piece of human trash, this human waste, was hiding in a closet after he killed two cops. And they did not fire their guns for fear they'd be sued by John Burris. John Burris in a silk striped suit, who has made the Oakland police incapable of defending themselves, in my opinion. And the vermin who worked for Obama. No, the reason they're dead is because they didn't fire first. They did not go in blazing. They went in looking for this piece of human offal in a closet. They had an anonymous tip. And instead of firing, he shot first through a closet door, killing two of them immediately. They then opened up on him in the closet. Had we had police of the type we had in the 1950s, this piece of trash in the car would have been dead before he got out of the car, and they would have had a justified murder of this guy because he had a gun in his hand, didn't he? How did he have a gun, Mr. Paroli? Where'd he get the gun from? He should have been shot dead in the car before he got out of the car. But no, now you have four dead police. The ACLU killed him, as far as I'm sitting here. And attorneys like John Burris, in my opinion, are responsible for the death of these cops. And reporters, so-called, like the crap that work for the Chronicle, who write a headline saying he shot because he was afraid of going back to jail again. You know, I would say shame on you at the Chronicle, but the greatest shame is waiting for you. The greatest shame is waiting for you when your newspaper is out of business and you're sitting in a crappe with the other people on disability, SSDI, for the other crazy people collecting state crazy checks. This has to stop. Too many people are out on parole. These parolees are violent. And by the way, because of budget cutbacks and because of liberal scum like you who are suing the police, suing the state prison system for not giving them better health care, they're going to be releasing thousands of more of these violent criminals. My only hope is that these violent felons don't visit Marin County or Beverly Hills to pay you a little visit. My only hope is that you liberals hiding behind your Obama bumper stickers don't run into them.
Savage.
At approximately 1:08 p.m. at the 7400 block of MacArthur Boulevard, Oakland Police Motor Officers conducted a traffic stop on a 1995 Buick. At 1:16 p.m., Oakland Dispatch received a call from a citizen that two officers were down and needed medical attention. When officers arrived on the scene, they discovered two officers suffering from apparent gunshot wounds, and they were quickly transported to Highland Hospital.
All right, four cops were killed over the weekend by one insane parolee. And there's a lot of blame to go around. Right now joining us is Attorney General Jerry Brown, who has some ideas about this that may be of use. Governor Brown, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thanks for being on again.
Hi there, Michael.
Well, what's the story here? Is it the fact that there are too many people on parole, or they're not monitored enough? What would you suggest?
I would suggest that there are a number of individuals who are clearly dangerous, who serve their time under the current sentencing structure, and they're in the community. They need to be monitored. They need to have a GPS monitoring device. They ought to have a night curfew. They ought to be told they can go to work, to school, or to a church. Other than that, they have to be confined within an area until they can earn their way off. This guy was already AWOL. I can tell you, when I was mayor, I tried to, at Oakland's expense, start our own program of monitoring parolees, and I was told to butt out. It was the turf of the state, not of the city. So what we have,
unbelievable.
Look,
you were governor, now you're attorney general, you were mayor of this violent city. How did he get to shoot? Do you know the ins and outs of this? How come he was able to shoot the two motorcycle officers immediately? What happened there, Governor?
Well, I think they were writing the ticket. I don't know for sure, but what I've heard is they were writing the ticket, and he evidently had, I'm not sure that it was obvious from the immediate encounter that he was the parolee on the run. And when it turns out, of course, he's had a couple of felonies, and as a felon in possession of a gun, which he had, he was going to go back to prison for a long, long time.
So, no, but by dint of the fact that he had a gun, he was going to commit a crime in either case.
Well, he was committing a crime. And besides that, there's other information that's coming out that he did other crimes that I think will be become public information.
How did the SWAT team, you know, the SWAT teams, Governor Brown, are known to be the best of the best. What mistakes might they have made? I'm not blaming them. How did this happen?
Well, you know what happens is when an officer is down or two people murdered and they're chasing after the person, they say he's in an apartment building. That's just a tip from somebody. The cops don't know, and they don't want him to get away, so they want to make sure, they want to exclude the possibility that he's in the apartment, or they want to capture him. And so they went in. And I guess he had this huge assault weapon with very powerful shells, and he fired from within a closet. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
Wait, how the heck does a parolee out of jail for only a few months get a large assault weapon? Where'd that come from? Does anyone know?
Well, you know, on the streets, you can buy a lot of things. You can buy dope, you can buy sex, and you can buy weapons. And it's just
wow. Oh, it's terrible. Well, this is a shocking story. I mean, it's broken everybody in half that I know. Even it cuts across all political boundaries here. Oakland seems to be out of control with this. Is it because the cops are afraid to assert themselves because of all the lawsuits and the cop watchers and that? Don't you think that has something to do with it?
Well, yeah. Now you're onto something. There are so many restrictions being piled on the cops. As a matter of fact, before the federal monitors with the four people that watched the police with the ACLU and the plaintiff's lawyers, before they showed up, the last year before, murder was at half the rate. It was at 60 instead of 120 or 100.
See, Jerry, that's why I'm probably going to support you for governor, because, you know, you and I disagree on many things politically, but I don't know, when it comes to security and issues like this, you're a very pragmatic man. I don't think I'd get this from any Twosome Newsome.
Well, you got to understand, there are guys who are like, you know, they're just like loaded missiles. You get in front of them and they kill you. And the fact is, in prisons, they ought to have some kind of a factor called suitability. Do the authorities, guys who or women who have a good insight, good intuition, and factors in the background or how they behave, who they hang with in prison, if they judge the guy is not suitable, you could have a sentencing framework that where they could be kept in, and they'd only get out if they actually did something to improve themselves. And a lot of them just sit there, do nothing. Their date comes up, they walk outside the door. The day they leave, they never talk to their parole agent, and they go right back to committing crimes. And with their seventh grade education, they're no skills other than selling dope or burglarizing or carjacking. That's all they got. So if that's the situation, I think those folks need to stay in a lot longer. And then there's other people who safely could be released earlier. But once on the outside, and here's really the new element, there needs to be a strategic partnership with parole, police, sheriffs, and highway patrol so that people who are on that list of more dangerous or high risk, they got to be looked after. They got to be watched. And the GPS technology, it should be put on. Now, Oakland will put it on at their own expense, but the prison system won't let them do it because they say that's their turf, butt out. And that's wrong.
Oh. Well, but I learned from you today on this interview on the Savage Nation is very interesting, is that you actually agreed that because of the horrible, overbearing presence of the ACLU and cop watchers and federal monitors, the crime rate, the murder rate, has actually gone up in Oakland. I think that that's not well known in the Bay Area, that that's one of the reasons we have an epidemic in Oakland, an epidemic of violent crime.
Crime is something all the experts argue about, but I can tell you the police are under a lot of pressure from the rules, the use of force, the internal. You know, we have over 30 officers policing policemen in the so-called internal affairs. In the homicide unit, there's 10 officers. And that's
unbelievable. So in other words, they've made the police turn upon themselves, and that's one of the reasons they were not quick enough on the draw. But, you know, that's irrelevant, really. They're dead. This is the worst. Isn't this the worst police massacre in California history?
It is, not without question.
It is in one situation. This is a big news story, Governor Brown. It really is, and I mean, in some ways, your appearance on the show is encouraging for me. I was upset all weekend because I didn't think there was a proper analysis of what happened, nor proper thought about what to prevent, how to stop this from happening in the future. I never expected you to come on the show and say that you would agree with me that there's too much oversight of the police. But I mean, it's common sense, I think.
Well, here's what it is. We have more and more rules, not just of the police, but the No Child Left Behind, all sorts of employment rules, and it becomes a rule book which people are either afraid to violate, you know, they don't want to come too close. And then you get more room, more fodder for lawsuits. And I think the key to anything, whether it's running the prisons or running a police department, is having a great leader hold them accountable. Because the answer is not monitors and not more lawsuits. It's a sound, solid leader with the experience and the courage to do what needs to be done.
Well, I understand that, and I know you're going to run for the governorship. And frankly, you know, the choices for people on the other side of the aisle aren't too many. But when it comes down to law and order, there's no question in my mind that you have a better grasp of the overall situation than your competitors. I think none of the others can match your experience, both as governor and as the mayor of a major city that had the crime and seen a change, and now as attorney general. And I think that, frankly, you know, if I could give you any open advice here, I really would run on some of this, on some of these concerns. The people in the state are desperate for leadership.
You know, I tell you, when you're protected in the state capitol or in a nice neighborhood, it's a lot different than when you live in downtown Oakland, where I lived for about 4.5 years till I recently moved up to the hills. But in my neighborhood, within about 5 or 6 blocks, there were 10 homicides in the 4.5 years that I lived here. And I saw.
I know you were living down in a loft near the down in the flats, weren't you?
The old Sears Roebuck building. In fact, that's where.
And
I
you and you told me that you had to stare at a billboard of me on the highway overpass.
I do. In fact, I can see that billboard right now, but it doesn't have. Michael Savage. It has college scholarships to students who live in the
room. Well, Governor Brown, I want to say, really, I'm really impressed with your coming back on the show. I mean, last time we argued over things and it wasn't really great. I didn't intend to. It just worked out that way. But right now I'm a little, it's as though the air has gone out of my balloon because of the shooting. I don't know what to make of it. I'm really upset by it. And I see the newspapers strangely and sickeningly actually having sympathy for the murderer.
Yeah, well, that's absurd. I can't believe anyone would do that. This guy was a bad character.
Do you know that the Chronicle's headline was, "He shot because he was afraid to go back to jail"? They made that the headline. I couldn't believe my eyes. But then again, they're losing $1 million a day. What do you expect? Well, Governor Brown, any last words on the police and the parolee situation? Yeah, other than we got to monitor them more and such, and keep the more violent offenders in? Is that what you're basically saying?
You got to keep them in, and the ones you do let out or have to let out, you should put very tight supervision. Some people need to be monitored very closely, very often. And a parole visit once a month, and then he misses it, now it's 60 days, and what the hell has he been doing in the meantime? No, you need that supervision, but it can't be...
Well, who's against monitoring violent felons? Who opposes that?
Well, I'll tell you, the Department of Corrections did when I asked that Oakland be allowed its police department to violate parolees, put them in Oakland's jail, and put a GPS monitoring. They said no. And that's something that ought to be explained, because it's never been understandable to me.
Well, Attorney General Brown, I wish you great success in your run for the governorship. I think we need strong leadership when it comes to crime. You know, law and order is an issue that transcends virtually all political affiliations. And frankly, on that basis alone, you really are the most qualified individual in my estimation.
Well, I'm doing my job, and whatever I run for, that'll be much later in the year. Or next.
I understand. I appreciate you having the decency to come on the show.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Savage, any day.
Thank you. Governor Jerry Brown, Attorney General Jerry Brown. I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable. At least we agreed on something, huh? 1-800-449-8255. If you care to comment on Attorney General Brown's position that parolees need to be monitored more, he said, he didn't say all parolees. He said the violent offenders who are released must be monitored more closely. He also said the nonviolent offenders probably should not be monitored as much, and many of them should be released. So, I mean, I have nothing, you know, I have to agree with the guy. How could you disagree with this man? Yes, someone does. In Las Vegas, Teddy, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
I couldn't disagree more with Brown, with what he was saying. It's just a way for him to scare taxpayers into building more prisons, more prison guards, and it's a way for the bureaucracy to keep
going. Weren't you just on the show? Didn't you just have sympathy for the murderer and saying the police needed to be monitored more? Now you're saying the police need to be monitored more, but not violent felons, Teddy?
I personally believe murder, child molestation, you should get the death penalty. But 70% of the people that are locked up are locked up for nonviolent crimes having to
but
deal with.
But didn't you hear what Jerry Brown just said? He said the violent parolees, the ones who are in for violent offenses or violent felonies, should be monitored more. He didn't say all parolees should.
But even the way the parole system works.
All right, here we go. He didn't hear. That's all. People don't hear. I found out people don't hear. All right, I'm going to open it up when I come back to felons and ex-felons and liberals and non-liberals, atheists and religious people, believers and non-believers. I'll be right back. Savage.
While investigating the incident, the Oakland Police Department received information on the location of the suspect. After repeated attempts to communicate with the suspect failed, the Oakland Police SWAT team entered the apartment in an attempt to locate and clear the area before an intensive search could be conducted. When officers gained entry into the apartment, they were immediately fired upon by the suspect with an assault weapon. Two officers sustained fatal gunshot wounds, and a third officer received a minor wound, a grazed wound to his head. SWAT officers returned fire.
Are we heard that we know what happened? Four are dead because of liberals like you who have sicked vermin upon the police for years now. Cop watch, police watch, ACLU, Ron Burris. If a cop does his job, he's called a racist or a thisist or a thatist. And consequently, the criminals are emboldened, and that is why there are four dead police, in my humble opinion. The new rules of engagement for Oakland, California, for the cops are die first, shoot later. The same rules of engagement for the U.S. Marines in Iraq as put forward by Jorge Bush. Sacramento, Dan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Come on.
Yes, go ahead, Dan. All right, Dan, I don't answer how I am. I asked you what's on your mind.
I'm very sorry. I forgot that rule, Doctor. I'm a 66-year-old ex-felon or convicted felon. I worked at San Quentin for 5 years as a consultant. Apparently didn't listen to some of my own lessons, wound up serving 6 years, 1 month, 1 day as a guest of the federal government, LOMPOC. So I have...
But, Dan, were you in for a violent crime or for white-collar crime?
Collar.
Huh?
Collar.
Collar. You weren't a killer.
No, but I was with violent people at both places, San Quentin and LOMPOC.
And so what is your take on the interview with Attorney General Brown? Agree or disagree with him?
I totally agree, and I never thought I would live long enough to say that about Jerry Brown.
Yeah, neither did I. I mean, he and I didn't agree on anything the last time he was on the Savage Nation, and today we agreed. And I'm very pleased to see that there's some common ground.
Well, here, can I give you my quick points as to what
yes,
might help,
yes.
at least in some of the regard?
Yes.
One, you clean out the nonviolent first-time offenders and send them home on bracelets that they pay for plus a profit. So you make money sending them home, and if they screw up, they go back for double their original sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you set up what I called, when I worked at San Quentin and when I taught at LOMPOC, I ran their regional warehouse and taught sales and marketing, public speaking, GED.
Dan, how did you survive in prison with all the violent offenders around you? What did you use to survive and not get killed there?
I learned at San Quentin to keep your head down and do your own time. I am a pretty good, I'm a sales trainer, professional salesman, reasonably well known.
But I had a guy on this show 10 years ago when I was a local host who had done a mortgage scam. He was a pretty big mortgage operator. He went to San Quentin. He came on the show and he said he survived because he said you have to use the skills you have with the violent ones who will defend you, protect you. And he said he used his skills not as a lawyer, but skills as an intelligent man to do law briefs for the violent criminals, and they protected him. Is that something that you found to be true?
It does happen, yeah. The law library, you're safe in the law library.
But how did you, what did you use to protect yourself?
My amazing charm and good looks, my ability to teach and help people, so I taught.
But did you get violated by other prisoners? I mean, is that a myth or reality?
I didn't get the first part before myth and reality.
No, were you violated by any prisoners other than, in the way people are talking about?
Oh, no. And that doesn't happen nearly as much as you might think, except to those who were probably violated on the outside also.
I see. So, in other words, a lot of this is mythology put forward by the media.
Yes. And, they'll send a child molester in. He won't survive there. That's nonsense. He'll be a curiosity for about 15 or 20 minutes. Then they're back to worrying about themselves, and then another new guy shows up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So you, the bottom line is you're an ex-felon. You did your time. You agree with Brown that the violent one should be monitored much more carefully. The nonviolent should be released basically on their own recognizance. And if they commit the same or another crime again, they go back for double the time.
The first year I was there was probably a splendid idea because I had not paid my taxes, hadn't filed. And that's a one-year sentence by itself. So I said,
oh, I know. And that's going to be a bigger problem than you could imagine with what Obama's doing to the people in this country who earn a living. Thank you for the call, my friend. Well, there it is. If you want to talk about the slaughter of four cops in Oakland, California, and whether you agree with me that liberals and lawyers killed them, as well as their friends in the news media, please give me a ring.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Say Officer Heggie, Sergeant Daniel Sakai, Sergeant Mark Dunnigan, and Sergeant Irvin Romans were all killed in a shootout with Lavelle Mixon. He was shot and killed as well. A steady stream of mourners offered their condolences for the officers at police headquarters.
I just felt like I should come down and show them some appreciation, so that's just what I did. You know, hopefully they know, you know, I'm sure they know that, you know, not all of us have bad feelings toward him.
Poor Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone.
All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. We have the worst slaying of policemen in California law enforcement history by a violent felon released because of liberals like you, because of scum-sucking vermin in the ACLU, because of rats like the vermin in Cop Watch, who has been appointed by Obama to now sit over a federal agency. In other words, because of liberals like you, there are four grieving families. Not to add to this now, lawyers like Burris, in my opinion, who sue the police for doing their job. Not to add to this, the crap who write for the newspapers and are taking sympathy shots for the victim, saying, oh, he only did it because he didn't want to go back to jail again. Well, hey, can you give me some bagpipe music? Because that's what I really wanted to hear on the Savage Nation. I really didn't want to hear a bad version. Yeah, that's what I want to hear. I mean, you know, I'm ripped up over this. I don't know how to tell it to you. To me, I'd rather see 50,000 of them dead than one cop. You know, there's a liberal adage. Play the... Okay, you know what, guys? Wind it to the better point, will you, when they got a little wind in the bag, and then play it for me. Give me a hint when you got the wind in the bag. I was at dinner Saturday night. I was celebrating my 15th anniversary. So a friend of mine, who was very conservative, said that when he grew up in Brooklyn, New York, his father told him, when he was walking with his father, there was a communist in the park who used to say, I'd rather see 99 guilty people go free, then one innocent person get locked up. He was a radical left-wing speaker in the park he saw. So he said to his father, Daddy, what does the man mean he'd rather see 99 guilty people go free than one innocent man locked up? He said his father said he's a crazy left-wing communist who doesn't understand that he'd rather see 99 innocent people go to jail than one of these rats let loose on the streets. Now, who got him the assault rifle, I want to know? Was it in his sister's apartment waiting for him? Who got him the handgun with which he killed the two first cops, the motorcycle cops? Where did he get the handgun from? In the old days, this wouldn't have happened. This piece of human offal would have been flushed down the toilet before he opened up on the cops. He would be a pile of blood in the gutter. But today, because of vermin like you, the cops are dead. And if you think this is the end of it, you're mistaken. This is coming to a neighborhood near you. And you're liable to be the victim. And only when you liberal rats are the victim will this come to an end. Only when the violent offenders break down your door and kill you and the police don't show up will this come to an end. All right, that's enough of the bad bagpipes and a bad song, and I'm in a bad mood. I've been in a bad mood since this happened because, A, it's terrible, but B, you read the paper, you want to kill somebody. You want to hang, you want to strangle the reporters. You want to grab them by the neck and slap them in the face. You want to slap them in the face and say, how could you write a story sympathetic to the murderer? How dare you say four cops were killed and the guy who killed them? Who cares that he was killed? That's the same thing you rats did with the homicide bombers in Israel. When they would kill 15, 16, 18 people, and you'd say, and the guy who blew up the bomb, the suicide bomber, is also dead. You pieces of garbage, you. You pieces of garbage. All right, you've had your, you're having your day now. You have your charlatan now in the White House, and you have your madwoman in the Speaker's house. Yeah, you have your charlatan in the White House, and you have your madwoman in the Speaker's house. But I can guarantee you as I'm sitting here, whether or not I'm still on the radio, the liberals are going to suffer the greatest defeat they've ever seen in American history during the next election. They will go down like tenpins. The American people finally caught on to the fact that we have a goofball in the White House. Did you hear that story? Or it didn't make it to your local paper? Because the vermin who write the papers didn't tell you what a schmuck he is. You're imposter Obama. You didn't hear about it? We started laughing like a giddy girl when he was asked about the economy. Play Steve Kraft, right? Can play
the
it
only
now.
Thing less popular than putting money into banks is putting money into the auto industry.
You're sitting here and you are laughing about some of these problems. Are people going to look at this and say, I mean, he's sitting there just making jokes about money. With them. How do you deal with it? I mean, explain your mood and your laughter.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be...
Are you punch drunk?
No, there's got to be a little gallows humor to get you through the day.
He's not punch drunk. He's incompetent, and he never thought he'd become president. He thought that he'd get far, but he never thought this would happen. He cannot believe that the people behind him could pull this off. Like Arnold Rothstein fixed the World Series of 1918. He just can't believe it. I think for the sanity of America, he should resign as far as I'm concerned. It's liable to happen, by the way. Don't laugh. It could happen that within the next few years, this man will resign rather than be impeached. He is so over his head, it's not funny. He still doesn't look like he belongs in Air Force One or in Marine One. He looks like, what am I doing here? He looks like he's an imposter. He himself doesn't feel like he belongs there. Chicago, Jim, you're on this. Welcome to the program. Goodbye from the program. San Francisco, KNEW. Evan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, thank you for taking my call. You know, I grew up here in Marin County, and earlier in this, you know, segment talking about just people don't have any idea what's around us.
You know, they don't. Evan, I see it. I look at people. They may as well be the invasion of the body snatchers here in the Bay Area. I see stupid boys driving cars with pimples on their face, with their pants hanging under their skinny white behinds, who can't even park a car. They hit the wheels against the curb, but they have an Obama-Biden bumper sticker proudly on their bumper. That they know. They know enough about the world, but they can't park a car.
You know, it's insane. We have these illegal aliens in particular, okay? And I don't care if these liberals around here, whatever, you know, there's a lot of them. But even the conservatives, they're so content in their lifestyle. They have no idea what's around them. They have them in their houses. They have them on their jobs. People are losing work. People tell me, oh, Evan, you know, it's going to get better. These illegals will leave because there's not enough work. No, I think the demand's going to be more.
I have made my position on illegal aliens very clear over the years, and I'm going to pass on that right now. I'd rather talk only about this for this moment. Two topics are on the table. Is President Obama punch drunk, as asked by Steve Kraft of 60 Minutes? Did he finally say, what, are you kidding me? This guy's a jerk. I said to you last week that Obama's ratings are plunging faster than an Israeli activist thrown down an elevator shaft. I wasn't kidding you. The only reason you don't know it is because you're not reading it in the stupid newspapers. The same stupid newspapers, the comic books, that have sympathy for the murderer of the cops are covering up for the imposter Obama. That's my opinion. You understand this? Sacramento, Patty, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I was just going to make a comment about you keep asking where that Lovell guy got the gun from. And I just wonder how you felt about gun control.
Well, how I feel about gun control? I think every law-abiding citizen should be armed.
Okay, but don't you think that criminals breaking into their homes and stealing those guns is where they get them?
No, Patty, you're living in a dream world. They don't get them from criminals breaking into homes and getting guns. They're buying them on the open gun market in the streets of Oakland and other cities.
But where do the open gun markets get them?
Patty, what world do you live in? Don't you understand that there is less violent crime in states like Florida where people have the right to carry a weapon because these people are afraid to come into a restaurant and strong-arm a restaurant? You have cases there of guys 75 years old pulling out a gun and killing perps because they never thought these people were armed.
Wow.
Armed citizenry, only an armed citizenry can defend itself.
Okay, well, how do we control criminals from getting guns then?
Well, you don't control criminals from getting guns by taking them away from non-criminals, do you, Patty?
Well, I don't know. That was my theory. I wondered what yours was.
My theory is give the life sentence, death sentence, to anybody who sells a gun to a violent felon. How's that? Does that work for you?
But I don't know who sells them to them.
You don't know, but maybe the state does or the federal government does. Where did this man get a high-powered assault rifle from a few months after being out of jail? How was it sitting in that apartment that he had that weapon and a handgun in his pocket is the real issue.
Right.
He didn't get that by breaking into someone's house and stealing it.
But somebody else could have and then sold it to him.
Patty, you're not really understanding what's going on in the world of guns. You don't own one yourself, is that right?
Well, I don't personally, but my husband...
Are you afraid of guns, Patty?
Well, I have had one stuck up my nose before in a robbery, yes, so I would say I'm afraid of guns.
Okay, you've had one stuck up your nose. Were you alone?
Was I alone? I was working in a grocery store.
Mm-hmm. And what if you had had a weapon under the counter? Could you have defended yourself?
No way.
Why?
I would have never been able to.
You wouldn't have been able to. No. But what if a citizen in the grocery store had been armed and shot this guy in the head from the side? While he had a gun in your nose. Wouldn't that have saved you?
Me too.
Huh?
But I mean, that's where my theory, you know, that, of course, yes, I am afraid of guns.
So in other words, you'd like to disarm all law-abiding citizens and you'd feel safer?
No, not at all.
All right, well, I'm glad to hear that. That's terrific. I'm glad to hear that. If you want to comment upon the death of the four officers, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Country is just degenerating. The whole country's falling apart as far. I mean, I'm not blaming Obama for the cop shootings. But I am blaming you liberals. It's liberals like you who killed the cops in Oakland as sure as I'm sitting here. I don't mean directly. I know you're all good people. I know you really wouldn't want this to have happened. I understand how crazy this sounds. But because of your idiocy, because of your sympathy for the devil, because of your ACLU, because of your cop watchers with cameras, because of lawyers who were suing the police for doing their jobs, four guys are dead. Their families will grieve for the rest of their lives. And you are responsible. You have their blood on your hearts, only you don't know it. So I think I've said all I'm going to say about it. I'm not going to bust a gut over this. There's nothing more I can do. I truly don't know how anybody gets up, puts on the uniform, and does their job, particularly in a state like California where police are so hated. I have no idea how they do their job. Vernon, San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I think that especially the SWAT team members didn't want this guy to go nuts and kill citizens, and I think they're heroes in that. We can't ever second guess what they do. They're out there protecting.
Where did he get an assault rifle that he could have in his? It was in his sister's apartment, by the way, that he was hiding. They got a tip on that. So what, was the gun waiting for him in his sister's apartment? Little sis had the gun for him? Yeah. He didn't have the gun when he ran in there, so the gun was sitting in there.
Yeah, did you see the pimp mobile that they had stopped? They didn't talk about that, with the 20-inch rims on it.
No, I didn't see the car, no, Vern. But what I'm asking is, where did he get such a high-powered assault rifle? In his, how did he get it? Was it in his sister's apartment? If so, they should throw her away for 20 years if she was hiding a gun for him. She's acting like she was innocent. Do you know that she's going to sue the police because they manhandled her when they came in there? They're going to get one of those verminous lawyers from Oakland to go after the cops for this?
Michael, they said that there's people by the traffic stop that were taunting the police.
What do you expect from animals in the street like that? What do you expect? The cops have to face these animals every day. Look, this is all because of the shooting at the there's a subway out here in California called BART. And about a couple of months ago, a cop shot a guy in the back while he was lying on the ground. The cop committed murder, in my opinion. Because of that, there have been riots in the streets by gangbangers, fomented by lawyers, fomented by ACLUers. And as a result of that, the police have been intimidated to the point of not being able to defend themselves, let alone defend their own community. Thank you for the call. San Francisco, KNEW. Mark, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I am a police officer. I work out in California, here in California. I work the street. It's sad that we live in a society where police officers, we can't even do our job anymore. The parolees have more rights than us. I've been personally...
Well, did you hear Attorney General Brown on my show? He agrees with you.
Yes, I heard him. I'm in between calls, so I listen to you as I'm on patrol because I like it that you create thought and that, you know, you show things for what they are. And for us doing the job, you know, we don't always get the recognition that we deserve, but we don't do it for that, you know, because when things happen and the bullets are fine or somebody...
But where do you think this perp got a high-powered rifle? Wasn't it waiting, in your opinion, wouldn't you assume it was waiting for him in that apartment?
You know what, Dr. Savage, it wouldn't surprise me if he has more in his attic as we speak. You know, these guys, they're able to get them. They could go over to East Palo Alto. They could go anywhere and pick up these weapons.
And where do these guns come from, Mark? Where are they being bought? How are they winding up on the market?
Based on my training experience, Dr. Savage, where they get these weapons is they'll break into either homes where they either steal these weapons from homes. There's been cases where actually police officers get their guns stolen from their vehicles. So it's committed through burglary and home invasions and things.
So you think there should be gun control, as the former, a woman called a while ago? She thinks there should be gun control to get more guns off the streets.
Dr. Savage, that's not gonna resolve the problem. What we need is
control. Because they're still gonna get the guns. I would say it should be a life sentence for using a gun in a crime. This man never should have been released. He was a violent felon who had been released because of liberals who said that he should be released. That's why the cops are dead. Not because he was able to get a gun in the black market. Look, my sympathies are with the police here. Whose aren't? People at the Chronicle and the Oakland Tribune and the Independent Journal and the New York Times. That's
Savage.
True. Fathers here. I'm going to contribute to it myself. I mean, you don't know it, but I do to every time I see a thing like this. But I'm going to see if I can get something going. I'd also like to know when the funerals are and where they are and see if they'll permit civilians to attend, because I think there's going to be the greatest outpouring of sympathy for these fallen officers that you've ever seen. I'm sure the newspapers won't cover it. After all, there is Proposition 8 in gay marriage, which you can't miss a beat on that. I mean, if two lesbians want to go to a hotel in Napa, that certainly should trump the killing of four police. Anyway, where did this gun come from? Forget the handgun. They're as common as an icicle in Nome, Alaska during this December. Where did this guy get, they say, a powerful assault rifle? I don't know what that means All assault rifles are powerful, and virtually all rifles are powerful. So that's a media misnomer, assault rifle. What's an assault rifle? All rifles are assault rifles. If you assault somebody with them, they're an assault rifle. I want to know the caliber. I want to know the type of weapon and where he got it from, because they all have serial numbers, and they can be traced to where they were manufactured and then traced all the way to the incident with the SWAT team. We haven't seen any of this because we have no reportage anymore. Just as the elevator murder mystery, there's no reportage because of the morons who write for the newspapers. They call it, he killed himself. Guess what I found it over the weekend, all of you story lovers. Attention, Police Chief Heather Fung. Attention, Heather Fung. Attention, San Francisco Police Chief Heather Fung. Heather Fung, are you listening? You've declared the elevator murder mystery an accident, that he fell down the shaft. Attention, Police Chief Fung. Can you explain where the victim's bicycle helmet is? Apparently, according to experts, the bicycle helmet of the victim is missing. Now, that could be only one thing, attention, Ms. Fung. I realize you're a great detective and a great police chief. Where's the bicycle helmet? The man rode to the building, died in the elevator, and there's no bicycle helmet. Well, that can mean one thing to anybody with a brain. Anyone with a hat that fits on their head can figure out that he used the helmet to defend himself with, and it was filled with the blood of the people who killed him. And whoever killed him took away the bike helmet. But that's common sense, and we understand that common sense doesn't function in Gavin Newsom's city of San Francisco. Los Angeles, KGIL, James, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. Being directly involved with the black market, quite a few of the guns come through the border. This whole notion that people are breaking into houses and cop cars is absolutely ridiculous. It's hogwash.
But when you say coming from the border, you mean that? But they're not being made in Mexico.
No, coming from gangs and the cartels down there. There's a lot of traffic through those avenues.
But wait a minute. But you're saying the guns are coming up from Mexico? We're told they're coming from the U.S. into Mexico.
Most of the time, no. And I'm not going to get into details, but I've purchased Russian-made weapons. I've purchased all kinds of stuff.
All right, so we don't want to ask you any more questions, obviously. You're on the wrong side of the law. You're just trying to tell us the weapons are coming from Mexico.
I'm actually on the right side now. I've cleaned up my life and everything else. So,
but the weapons are coming from where? The Middle East? AK-47s? Is that what you're saying?
Not necessarily Middle East. Like I said, I've purchased a Yugo.
What you're saying is a lot of them are coming out of Eastern Europe, right into Mexico, and then they're coming up through the border. Okay, James, in your analysis of this case, where did this guy get this weapon from? Was it not where he got it from? Do you agree with me that there's a reasonable surmisal that his sister was storing that weapon for him in her apartment?
More than likely, yeah. This is probably a weapon he's purchased long before this incident took place. And
okay,
well,
the sister's acting like a victim. She said the police roughed her up when they burst in there. The police manhandled her, James. Setting the police up for a lawsuit after this loss of four men. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. We have a fund for the officers already. Let me see where it is. Here it is. Trust funds have been established for the fallen officers. People who wish to make contributions to the funds have two options. Oakland Police Officers Association, Dunican Children's Family Trust, Romans Children's Family Trust, Sakai Family Trust, wire transfers directly. I'm going to post all of this up on my website so that you guys, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, who are very generous, you know, you want to send money there. I'm really upset over this. It really bothers me because, to me, it's not just that it's the worst massacre of police in the California history. It goes beyond that. What's happening here is that the police are intimidated. The police have been intimidated now, and the perps have the upper hand because of liberals like you. And worse yet is that one of the people who started harassing the Oakland police over 10 years ago has been appointed by Barack Hussein Obama to head up an environmental something or other in Washington, D.C. He actually rewarded one of the cop haters who is now in the White House. If you think this is the end of this, you're mistaken. It's just the beginning. You know, there's another story that I haven't even begun to touch on. that I'm going to touch on right now on the Savage Nation. Let's go to my website together. We're all going to go to michaelsavage.com, and I'm going to read you the story. I think I got it from Fox News this morning. My hair turned gray. Here it is. Are you on Obama's list of domestic terrorists? Now, before I begin, I want to tell you that this program, which is being conducted by Janet Napolitano of Homeland Security, was not begun by Obama, nor by Janet Napolitano, but it was begun by George Jorge Bush. And here's how the article reads. Now, my headline is mine. Are you on Obama's list of domestic terrorists? And you may be. I may be. Do you like Ron Paul? Do you oppose abortion? You may be a member of a militia, according to a new report by a government information collection agency that is being called a, this one came out of a thing called a fusion center. There are 58 fusion centers nationwide funded by the Homeland Security Department. And what they do is they collect local intelligence that so-called authorities can use to combat so-called terrorism and so-called related criminal activities. During a press conference last week in Kansas City, Mo, so-called DHS Secretary Janet Napolitano called these fusion centers the centerpiece of state, local, federal intelligence sharing in the future. But they are actually identifying people like you. In other words, let's say you supported Ron Paul, Chuck Baldwin, or someone else who was not in a Dem or Republican. Or let's say you're an anti-abortion activist. Or let's say you're a conspiracy theorist. All of you are considered a threat to America, according to Jorge Bush and Barack Hussein Obama and now Janet Napolitano. Even the ACLU is outraged. Even the ACLU said, Michael German, National Security Policy Council for the so-called ACLU, said this report crosses the line and shows a disregard for civil liberties. This ACLUer says the number of fusion centers nationwide is closer to 70. And he said the centers present several troubling concerns, including their excessive secrecy, ambiguous lines of authority, the use of data mining, and military participation. What's intriguing here is that data mining was attacked by liberals when it was used against radical Islamists. But now these very same liberal vermin who are in the government love data mining. So here it is. And so now you have a group of illiterate anti-Americans in the Department of Homeland Security targeting you. And ACLU officials blasted a Texas fusion center last month for distributing a, quote, prevention awareness bulletin. Now, of course, they were defending Muslim civil rights organizations, not you. See, that's where the ACLU is really upset, because these fusion centers are also monitoring Muslim groups. They don't care a rat about conservatives, the ACLU. They care only about their friends in the Muslim community. I want you to read this story. Fusion centers expand criteria to identify militia members. It is chilling. It is very chilling. And the fact of the matter is, this is just the beginning of what I predicted would happen when Obama won. This is just the infancy of what this man is liable to do if he's not stopped. Trust me, unless this man is stopped dead cold. And by the way, he's being stopped by the media. Brave men like the guy on 60 Minutes, Steve Croft, who said, "Are you punch drunk?" to Obama, are catching on to the fact that this man is not only an imposter, he's unqualified, and he's out of control. Did you hear that interview? Play it again right now. Listen to the giddy president of the United States.
The only thing less popular than putting money into banks is putting money into the auto industry.
You're sitting here and you are laughing about some of these problems. Are people going to look at this and say, I mean, he's sitting there just making jokes about money with them. How do you deal with it? I mean, explain your mood and your laughter.
Yeah, I mean,
right, so even Steve Croft of CBS has caught on to the fact that the king has not only no clothes, but obviously no qualifications to be president. Never mind no clothes. The guy is a professor, a goofball professor, for whom, like all liberals, everything is a big joke. You know, libs think everything's a joke. Everything's a joke except them. They're the only ones who are not a joke. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, I've posted the trust funds on my website, michaelsavage.com. You can send money to the trust funds for these fallen officers. Big deal. At least the kids might have something. I'm sending $2,500 to each of them of my own money. It's not a lot of money, but it's what I'm going to send for a total of about 10 grand for right now. And that's it. You should send something too. That's all. What are you going to do? You got to help them where you can. These kids have no father now. Now, where did this gun come from? I want to know where the so-called assault rifle was in the sister's house. How do you think it got there? That's what I'd like to know. And the sister screamed bloody murder that the police manhandled her and roughed her up to the SWAT team. You hear this? So they can get Ron Burris out for another double dip on this one. Gino in New York, WOR. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. In all likelihood, in my humble opinion, I think he got the gun probably either from Texas or Florida, and he got it from a legal purchaser who was either a family member or a friend who then in turn sold it either to him personally, the criminal, or another criminal who then...
Now, why do you say Texas or Florida, Gino?
Well, I was just logically thinking, the gun made its way to California, and usually you can't get a gun permit in California without pulling teeth out of a horse. You go to a state like Texas or Florida or Virginia or the Carolinas where it's much easier to get somebody to buy the gun for you who's a legal resident of those states. If you have a family member or a friend who has no criminal record, the guy just turns around and sells it more often than not.
I hear you. Then the gun laws need to be tightened up, and I know I'm going to make a lot of enemies on my audience today, but I don't care. I mean, if this is what's going on, something has to happen here. There's something has to be done.
Well, let me make one more quick point about the reference you said about some felons who are nonviolent who shouldn't be locked up. I have to disagree with you because I used to be a probation officer. I dealt with drug felons. They are more than capable of doing violent things, and especially parolees who went in for drug dealing. They kill to defend their drug turf. They are more than capable of taking you, me, or an innocent three-year-old out who's a bystander because they're defending their drug turf. No one who's been on probation or parole should ever be let out of prison or should ever be unsupervised for any amount of time as long as it's humanly and legally possible to do so.
I guess the state has so many criminals because California is a criminal-friendly state that there aren't enough parole officers to go around. There are so many violent criminals in this state, just as there are so many bums on the streets. Again, Gino, because of the liberal climate, both criminals and homeless bums are drawn to it like flies to a horse stable. Thanks for the call. Just as flies are drawn to horse droppings, so are the bums drawn to the streets of Los Angeles and San Francisco, and so are criminals from around America drawn to this state. They know that they're in a place that is going to treat them like victims rather than perpetrators, and that's why four cops are dead. I am praying to God that something happens that changes this climate in this state. It will never happen under this fraud from Austria, who is the governor. That's all I could say. This faker from Austria will never, ever change anything. Sacramento, William, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi. I'd like to offer a different perspective because I happen to be a person that was convicted of a felony. And I kind of understand what this young guy was going through because as a black man, when you come in the door, once they find out that you do have a felony, it's all over. You're not going to get the job automatically. And, you know...
So that justified killing four cops?
No, I don't say that justified killing four cops. Actually, I feel bad that this country has gotten so bad that five people ended up dying today because these are loss of human lives. And that's all...
But you're putting his life on par with the four cops, aren't you?
Because it's the loss of a human life.
No, it is not the loss of a human life. This is not a human being who killed the cops. There are people who have descended below the level of humanity. Don't you understand that? That there are people who don't act like human beings? That they don't belong in the family of man? They should be locked up forever or given the death penalty? Had this guy been given three strikes, you're out. He wouldn't have been out on the streets, would you?
So that's the answer.
No, don't give me this black felon garbage anymore. I'm sick of hearing it. Don't give me this hearts and flowers that blacks are picked on. You got a black president. You got a black attorney general. What more do you want?
I want.
What more do you want? Stop with this black victimhood garbage already. Four cops are dead. So stop the garbage.
Because that's exactly, this country was founded on slavery. It was founded on racism.
That's a bunch of crap. This country was not founded on slavery. This country wasn't founded on slavery. I didn't make one nickel off slavery.
Well, your poor father.
You're full of hate is what you are because you're a guy who is on the bottom because you think like a guy on the bottom. If you could learn how to turn your mind around and to think like a winner, maybe you wouldn't be on the bottom.
You know,
you walk around with a chip on your shoulder thinking everybody's out to get you, don't you?
No, actually, I made it through because I had enough discipline in order to wait for 7 years so that the felony didn't matter. And now I have a decent job where I'm making over $50,000.
So why are you walking around with such hatred that everybody owes you a living, everybody is a slave trader? You're still walking around with that mentality. It's crippling you.
I feel bad that four people had to die behind a racist attitude here in America. That's why.
In other words, because of racists like you who have empowered the murderer who is black, who killed four non-black cops, you're actually justifying their murder, aren't you?
Well, I'm not just, I feel...
Of course you are. You are in a subtext saying they got what they deserve because of racism and slavery. So you haven't learned anything from your 7 years in jail. You're still walking around with hatred to society.
I love everybody because...
Right, you know what? I've had enough for this double talk. Save it for somebody else. Give them the double talk. You got a black president, a black attorney general. Still not enough. Wherever you turn. Everywhere you turn. Still victimhood. I've heard this garbage all my life. I've lost so many jobs to non-jobs because they were black or they were Asian or they were this or they were gay and I was a white man. Let me tell you that. You can't keep a good man down. But there are men who don't have my drive. There are men who are very good men who have been shafted in this country because of racists like that caller and liberal racists like the type that are running this country. And that's all I want to say. Don't get me started on this slavery garbage. Four cops are dead. Black man killed them. And you're not allowed to say a black man killed four non-blacks. This was a hate crime, by the way, boys and girls. But I guess you can't punish the perpetrator because he's dead. It was a hate crime, wasn't it? If I remember correctly, one of the victims, one of the cops' name was Sam Ancestry. How does that figure in? Nothing to do with race, does it? It has to do with criminal versus cop. And it's because of liberalism that these cops are dead. And I'm going to repeat what I said right at the beginning. It's because of the ACLU, because of lawyers like Ron Burris, in my humble opinion, who have sued the police to the point where they're afraid to do their jobs, because of the type of person that Obama has just appointed to the White House, who ran a group called Cop Watch and ran after police doing their jobs with video cameras. It is because of all of them collectively, along with the liberal vermin who write the Oakland Tribune and who write for the failing San Francisco newspaper and who write for the local independent journal. They're all out of business, all of these enterprises. Unfortunately, the widows could care less. The widows know who did this to their men. The widows know it's the liberalism in the area that killed their husbands. The children will one day learn that liberalism is a dangerous mental disorder, but it won't bring them back from the dead. There's nothing more I can say. Play the saving grace. There's another big hour of the Savage Nation. Be here. That's all I can say.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's what we've been talking about today in the Savage Nation. Punch drunk Obama? Obama is laughing while America burns. Last night on 60 Minutes, someone finally had the guts to ask him why he was giggling. Giggling like a schoolgirl while the economy in the country is in the toilet. Is the media finally realizing that this imposter has no clothes? Over the weekend in Oakland, California, four police officers were shot and murdered by a violent criminal thug who was out on parole. He's now being glamorized by the vermin in the media. You see, two cops pulled this demon over on a routine traffic stop and were shot dead in the head. When the police later tracked him down an apartment in his SWAT team, two more officers were shot dead before they managed to kill him because of rules of engagement. The murderous thug who killed them was shot, but who else is to blame? Is it the lax parole laws? Is it the ACLU? Is it the lawyers appointed by Obama? They're the ones who killed the police, in my opinion. They're the ones who are accessories to murder. The police were afraid to fire back for fear that these vermin, these scum-sucking vermin would sue them. They killed the cops. Tell it to your friends. Four families have been torn apart. Sons have no fathers. Wives have no husbands. The Oakland Police Department has been devastated. The community is less safe. But all the media wants to do is try to figure out why this murderous vermin did what he did. They seem to be trying to sympathize with this crime, trying to get inside this rat's head. You're not going to believe this, but the headline on the San Francisco Chronicle, the failed verminous newspaper, blares that he was only trying to avoid going back to jail because he was on parole. In other words, they were blaming the cops. And some of the articles even talk about how the family of the murderer feels. Do you think the crying mother of a dead police officer wants to know about how the family of this piece of human scum feels? Do you think the little girl who just lost her father cares about what this piece of human scum was going through as he committed his murderous rampage? But what's even more disgusting than the vermin in the media are the lawyers and activists who hover around cases like this. John Burris, for example, a so-called lawyer from Oakland who was suing a transit officer who shot another criminal earlier this year. And the ACLU, or Police Watch, the police harassment group founded by Van Jones, who was just appointed by the corrupt Obama administration. Should these people be charged with accessory to murder? I'll let the Savage Nation decide what you think. I mean, we better put that aside for a minute. It seems the so-called experts keep making the same mistakes over and over again. Experts in the economy keep throwing good money after bad, just as some experts in the medical community keep relying on the big pharmaceutical companies to provide us with pills to solve every problem. Joining us today is Dr. Peter Bregan to talk about the comparison between how these experts are handling things.
Thanks, Michael. From managing our painful economy to managing our painful emotions, the experts keep making the same mistakes. There's an enlightening comparison between how politicians are mismanaging our economic pain and how health experts are mistreating our emotional and physical suffering. We can begin with a huge scandal that has recently erupted around the research used to justify treating physical pain with multiple designer drugs instead of tried-and-true pain medications. A doctor named Scott S. Rubin from Bayside Hospital in Massachusetts has published dozens of supposedly scientific articles on managing pain through the use of multiple newfangled drugs at once. Two of his favorite chemicals are the Pfizer products Lyrica and Celebrex. Lyrica is an especially mind-numbing lobotomy-like drug, and Celebrex has been implicated as a cause of death from heart disease. It turns out that Dr. Rubin has been making up his data, even inventing large numbers of patients. The result? Enormous profits for Pfizer, who denies any inkling or any stitch of involvement in this mammoth, decade-long fraud that has sucked millions into its coffers.
Are you saying the older opiate drugs can be better in pain management?
Yes, the opiates, such as morphine, Dilaudid, and hydrocodone, are very effective, provided they are given in sufficient doses, which too often they are not. But these drugs have one big, insurmountable problem. No, it's not their potential to cause addiction. It's how cheap they are. Drug companies can't make fortunes selling them. In reality, addiction rarely occurs from the rational treatment of physical pain. Also, the opiates have much less damaging effects on the body, the brain, the mind, than the newer designer drugs. And treating patients with a time-tested drug, using one at a time, is much more safe and rational than bombarding patients with multiple new chemicals the way the experts would have us do.
Well, how do these principles apply to psychiatry?
The same problem exists. Loading up patients with an array of the latest drugs to come along until the patients become too numb to complain. Psychiatric drugs have become a form of pain management aimed at blunting the human spirit. And in my experience, anesthetizing the soul is never the best answer. Like interventions into the human economy, psychiatric drugs don't solve the real problems. They have too many unintended consequences, and they disrupt normal brain function. And that means also normal mental function. Meanwhile, despite the claims of the drug company experts, therapy, education, religion, and other human services are far safer and more effective in the treatment of emotional distress, especially when they encourage individual freedom and responsibility.
Earlier you said the experts were making the same kind of mistakes in treating the current economic crisis.
Yes, it all comes down to human beings and human nature, so the same principles apply to healing society and to healing individuals. And unfortunately, the same mistakes are made, offering multiple radical, unproven solutions that provide huge payoffs to interest groups without actually providing help. In both economics and medicine, the so-called authorities are handing out money hither and yon, almost always to powerful corporations, in the vain hope that one or more bailout will do the trick. At the same time, they are imposing more and more control on the economic system. It's not unlike prescribing multiple drugs that suppress the emotional vitality of the individual while inflating drug company profits. In times of personal or national crisis, it's always better to use time-tested methods based on solid principles that encourage freedom and responsibility while limiting the number of outside intrusions and controls. It's always best to support the natural healing processes inherent in the free market and in individual initiative.
Well, if the problems are similar, are the solutions the same?
Yes, the principles of prosperity apply as much to the economy as to our personal lives. They apply as much to what's going on in Washington as to what's going on in the drug companies. When the governments and corporations claim to offer us solutions or treatments, we need much greater transparency about what they are doing. Whether it's about government bailouts or about pharmaceutical company research, the public must have access to all the data, not just to the information that serves the interests of the government or the corporation. As it stands right now, we have little idea how the government develops and carries out its rescue plans, and we have very little idea about the data behind drug company claims for the safety and efficacy of their products. Instead of blindly accepting the authorities and the experts, we must judge them according to the principles that promote our economy and our individual lives. Are their prescriptions for us and for our society going to promote freedom and responsibility and encourage our innate abilities to take care of ourselves and to prosper? Or are they going to promote the power of the experts and their interest groups? In every area of our lives, from the personal to the political, we have the right to full truth about the activities that affect our lives. And we must bring to bear the same basic American principles in evaluating their safety and effectiveness. That brings me then to what I call the primary principles, the refrain of my weekly report. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for all your gifts and opportunities. Become a source of love. You can find me and listen to all these reports at Breggin.com. That's Breggin.com.
Thanks, Dr. Breggin. We all know things do need to change. This is the Savage Nation. Savage.
Put money into banks. Is putting money into the auto industry.
You're sitting here and you are laughing about some of these problems. Are people going to look at this and say, I mean, sitting there just making jokes about money? How do you deal with it? I mean, explain your mood and your laughter.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be...
Are you punch drunk?
No, there's got to be a little gallows humor to get you through the day.
Blue Monday, how are you?
It is the Savage Nation. Well, at least somebody in the midstream media stood up to the imposter. Not only does the king have no clothes, apparently the king has no brains. How long it'll be until America wakes up is another story. You drive around liberal places like Marin County, California, and see pimply-faced kids. I guess they were born in male bodies, but God knows what they are inside. With Obama bumper stickers who can't park their car, hitting the hubcaps, hitting the wheel. But they're geniuses at politics because mommy taught them. You know, there's no fathers around in Marin. There may be men in the house, but there are no fathers. But it's amazing to me that finally somebody said to this guy, are you punch drunk? We have a Boy Scout, or shall I say a Girl Scout, running the Treasury Department, and there's very little hope out there. But on Friday on the Savage Nation, I celebrated my 15th year in radio. It wasn't exactly that day. Saturday would have made 15 years in radio. 15 long, wonderful years, the longest running show of its type in radio right now. I think it is right now. Is it the longest running show? No, it wouldn't be. I guess the golfer has been on longer than I have. But it's a very long time for somebody who's as daring as I am, and a very long time for someone who they said wouldn't last a day, because they said I was too New York, I was too outspoken. 15 years because of you. We celebrated that on Friday. Terrible story over the weekend is four Oakland police officers were executed by Lovell Mixon. Lovell Mixon, who was in and out of prison most of his life. He was released on parole in November because a liberal scum like you. And two Oakland motorcycle officers pulled this piece of human trash over Saturday afternoon. He opened fire and shot them in the face, killing them. Later, two SWAT officers who stormed the apartment, who did not fire first for fear they'd be sued by pieces of garbage with law degrees, two SWAT men were killed because of filth like you, lawyers, who did this to them. I don't know how the cops take it. I want you to understand that these cops were killed because of liberals like you. No, the cops went in on the SWAT team after this piece of human trash, this human waste, was hiding in a closet after he killed two cops. And they did not fire their guns for fear they'd be sued by John Burris. John Burris in a silk striped suit, who has made the Oakland police incapable of defending themselves, in my opinion. And the vermin who worked for Obama. No, the reason they're dead is because they didn't fire first. They did not go in blazing. They went in looking for this piece of human offal in a closet. They had an anonymous tip. And instead of firing, he shot first through a closet door, killing two of them immediately. They then opened up on him in the closet. Had we had police of the type we had in the 1950s, this piece of trash in the car would have been dead before he got out of the car, and they would have had a justified murder of this guy because he had a gun in his hand, didn't he? How did he have a gun, Mr. Paroli? Where'd he get the gun from? He should have been shot dead in the car before he got out of the car. But no, now you have four dead police. The ACLU killed him, as far as I'm sitting here. And attorneys like John Burris, in my opinion, are responsible for the death of these cops. And reporters, so-called, like the crap that worked for the Chronicle, who write a headline saying he shot because he was afraid of going back to jail again. You know, I would say shame on you at the Chronicle, but the greatest shame is waiting for you. The greatest shame is waiting for you when your newspaper is out of business and you're sitting in a crappe with the other people on disability, SSDI, for the other crazy people collecting state crazy checks. This has to stop. Too many people are out on parole. These parolees are violent. And by the way, because of budget cutbacks and because of liberal scum like you who are suing the police, suing the state prison system for not giving them better health care, they're going to be releasing thousands of more of these violent criminals. My only hope is that these violent felons don't visit Marin County or Beverly Hills. On to other topics. This is no joke. You know, the hot new thing among the American elite used to be fusion cuisine, combining different cooking styles from different countries. Now the hot new thing among the American elite is a thing called fusion centers. What's a fusion center? They're a set of local intelligence centers across the country created by the Department of Homeland Security to combat terrorism and related criminal activity. And now, according to a report by one of these fusion centers, if you are an anti-abortion activist or if you've supported third-party presidential candidates such as Ron Paul, Chuck Baldwin, or believe in the idea that the U.S., Mexico, and Canada corridor will someday be a North American union, you may be on a Homeland Security watch list. According to a report called The Modern Militia Movement from the Missouri Informational Analysis Center, if you display political paraphernalia supporting a third-party candidate, or if you have what's referred to as subversive literature, you could well be a member of a domestic paramilitary group. The Iron Heel of Obama is starting to come down, But let's remember this. The Homeland Security Department and these fusion centers were not created by Obama, but were created by George W. Bush. And while Obama may ultimately be responsible for suppressing third parties and anybody else who is thinking out of line with the Marxist mainstream, it was none other than the phony George Bush who started the process. So I don't want to hear from lockstep Republicans who insist that this is all Obama's doing. This started in 2004. Bush may have started it, but Obama may finish you. But what's most amazing about this report is that even the communist ACLU has responded by saying it has crossed the line and shows a disregard for civil liberties. So dissidents on the left and dissidents on the right agree for once. But the government media complex, the Bush-Obama crowd, seems to be just okay with the idea of sending you up the river if you support a third party or anti-abortion, putting you under surveillance if you have, quote, subversive literature, unquote, or if you happen to support the wrong Republican member of Congress. Go to michaelsavage.com and see if I'm making this up. You're not going to believe it. You're no longer living in America. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
We've talked about Obama's foreign policy challenges and some of the mistakes that he's made. A recent one that deserves more attention is his YouTube speech to Iran. Joining us now is the author of They Must Be Stopped and founder of ActForAmerica.org, Bridget Gavriel.
Thank you, Michael. In a naive effort to reach out to the Iranian leaders, President Obama issued a video greeting last Friday, timed with the start of the Iranian New Year, wishing the Iranians a happy holiday and, quote, the promise of a new beginning that is grounded in mutual respect. In an unbelievably shameful visual portray of the American president, President Obama appeared stripped of any authority, stature, or dignity. He appeared close up on a white background that could have been shot in a men's room. Where was the Oval Office? Where was the presidential desk? Where was the American and presidential flag on either side of him? It appeared as if President Obama wanted to strip himself of his Americanism in a shameful and degrading way to appeal to his enemy. President Obama appeared to be on his knees. The super close-up of his face does not allow you to tell if Barack Obama is sitting, kneeling, or standing. Everything about it was submission and begging for acceptance. What he did in the eyes of Islamic culture is capitulation in words and appearance. While Westerners may not get this picture, the East and Muslims the world over got it loud and clear. They heard and saw that America is afraid of Iran and cannot fight it. That's why they are begging now for the regime to talk to them and work with them. In Islamic culture, you only come to the negotiating table either to discuss the details of your surrender or when you perceive your opponent as stronger than yourself and you are too weak at the current time to win. The latter is a technique the Prophet Muhammad used in the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah against the Meccans, and it became a strategy of war in Islam. In either case, the Iranian leaders, who do not see themselves as too weak to win against America, have been emboldened by Obama's action and are more convinced than ever that America is capitulating to them. Where has the American leadership gone? Where are the presidential advisors and their knowledge of Islamic culture and traditions? Have they ever seen a Muslim president or leader ever appearing on any TV without the full pomp and circumstance of their office, with their flags, might, security, and the strong impression of their stature behind them? These are all very important symbols in a world that survives on identity, honor, pride, and its stature in a culture driven by the authority of the image of the leader, whether it is a mullah, a king, or a president.
You think this video was an insult to the office of the president?
Mr. Obama's video and its content was an insult to the office of President of the United States of America. While his naivete and policies on the home front has caused Wall Street to lose confidence in his leadership, driving the stock market down 20% since he took office, his foreign affairs ignorance and naivete may cause catastrophic results by empowering an Islamic theocracy developing nuclear bombs. The stakes are high, and time is of the essence in dealing with Iran's all-powerful theocracy, driving a nuclear program with apocalyptic visions. Muslim mullahs who believe Islam and Muslims are superior to any other people or religion have no respect for non-Muslims, let alone for weakness. President Obama is begging for good relations and mutual respect with a religious fanatical regime that has held U.S. diplomats hostage, declared war on America and called it the Great Satan, killed, tortured, and kidnapped hundreds of Americans in Lebanon, and finances and trains terrorists killing Americans in Iraq and Afghanistan. And for this, President Obama is respecting Iran? Let me think for a second here. What does one call providing aid and comfort to the enemy?
Well, how did Iran's Ayatollah react to Obama's video?
On Saturday, he bluntly dismissed Obama's overtures in a speech surrounded by thousands of Iranians screaming death to America. And why would the Iranians want to talk to America? Iran is on a winning streak. You do not negotiate when you are winning and your enemy is losing. The Iranians' perception of victory is the result of the U.S. promising to withdraw from Iraq, begging for their help in Afghanistan, crawling to Syria, trying to wow it over to become a mediator with Iran. And now, Obama's video message, America is not committed to supporting democratic grassroots uprising in Iran to overthrow the radical regime. Give Iran reasons to negotiate. There are none at this point, except to buy time from the gullible leadership of the United States in order to finish building its nuclear bomb while we waste our precious air discussing peace and begging for friendship and acceptance. Iran is still saying that their nuclear power is for peaceful purposes and energy development. They will use any tool within their grasp to accomplish their mission of producing a nuclear bomb, including lying to our face. In my book, They Must Be Stopped, I discuss in detail the Iranians' principles of deceit in war. In the words of Ayatollah Khomeini, quote, "We know of no absolute values besides total submission to the will of the Almighty. People say don't lie, but the principles is different when we serve the will of Allah. He taught man to lie so that we can save ourselves at moments of difficulty and confuse our enemies. Should we remain truthful at the cost of defeat and danger to the faith? We say not." The Ayatollah continues, "People say, don't kill, but the Almighty himself taught us how to kill. Without such a skill, a man would have been wiped out long ago by the beasts. So shall we not kill when it is necessary for the triumph of the faith? Deceit, trickery, conspiracy, cheating, stealing, and killing are nothing but means. On their own, they are neither good nor bad, for no deed is either good or bad, isolated from the intentions that motivated it." End quote. These are the words of Ayatollah Khomeini.
What's driving the Ayatollah and his mullahs?
What is driving the Iranian mullahs, headed by Ahmadinejad, is a messianic vision of bringing back the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, who is the Islamic Messiah. The Mahdi disappeared centuries ago and can return only after an apocalypse. Iranian mullahs believe they can bring back the Mahdi by creating the world disaster required to usher in his return, when Islam reigns supreme in the universe and all people live peacefully in an Islamic heaven. We in the West think this is insanity and that religious Iranians do not really believe this. But listen to the words of President Ahmadinejad when he called for the Mahdi in his speech at the United Nations in 2005. Quote, "Oh, mighty Lord, I pray to you to hasten the emergence of your last repository, the promised one, that perfect human being, the one that will fill this world with justice and peace." End quote. During the Cold War, we found safety from the nuclear-armed Soviet Union in the policy of mutually assured destruction. It worked because neither we nor the Russians wanted to die. What makes Iran different than other powers is that for Iran, mutually assured destruction means death to America and Israel and assured paradise for the martyred Iranian population. They push the button with a smile on their face, and 72 versions are just around the corner. Mr. Obama must understand who this enemy is, what is driving them, how they think and operate, and how they exploit our weaknesses to achieve their ends. We must not reflect our values and way of thinking on evil people who are working around the clock to achieve our destruction. This is the time for wisdom. This is the time for leadership in an era of unprecedented evil armed with nuclear power. For if we don't stop the Mullah Iranian regime now, before they acquire a nuclear bomb, the lives of millions of people in Israel and around the world will bleed on our conscience forever. This is why they must be stopped. Back to you, Michael.
Thanks, Bridget. Our president needs to learn some world leaders are more equal than others. Some went to Harvard, others learned fanaticism. This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment.
Savage.
America has a long-standing fascination with organized crime. I know I'm not talking about our politicians in Washington, D.C. I'm talking about the mob. By the age of 24, our next guest, Michael Francisi, was one of the biggest money earners the mob has seen since Al Capone. He has a new book coming out this week entitled I'll Make You an Offer You Can't Refuse, in which he talks about how the mob's business practices were so successful. Michael Francisi, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me on today. Really appreciate it.
Well, how'd you get involved with organized crime?
Well, I certainly had a little different lifestyle than most people out there, I believe. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and my dad was the underboss of the Colombo organized crime family back in the 1960s. And he was a very, major target of law enforcement, major target of the media back then. I'm sure I grew up a lot differently than most people around in that, grew up with a different perception of law enforcement, didn't like them very much, and really because I saw them always targeting my dad and in my perspective, harassing my family, so on and so forth. But despite that, my dad didn't want me to get involved in that life originally. Wanted me to go to school and be a doctor, and I was on that path for a while. I was an athlete in school and pretty well into my education. And back in the 60s, my dad got in some serious trouble, had a number of pretty serious indictments. He was indicted for murder. He was indicted for grand larceny, went to trial on both of those cases and was later acquitted after lengthy trials. But then he was indicted in federal court for masterminding a nationwide string of bank robberies. He was convicted and sentenced to 50 years in prison back in 1967. After losing all his appeals in 1970, he went off to Leavenworth Penitentiary to do that time. And I was a pre-med student at Hofstra University in New York at the time, and I was devastated. My whole family was. I was one of seven kids, but my dad was 50 when he went in, and we figured he'd 50 on top of that, and he'd probably never be out of prison alive again. And, I kind of lost interest in school. Joe Colombo, who was the boss of my family at the time, kind of took me under his wing, got real close with me, started to introduce me to a lot of my dad's friends, a lot of maid guys, as the term is used in that life. And they had a pretty powerful influence over me, telling me, why are you going to school? If you don't get on the street and help your father out, he's going to die in prison. And I lost interest in school, went to see my dad in Leavenworth, and told him I didn't want to go to school anymore. And he was a bit upset about it, but realized my mind had been made up. And he said to me, son, if you're going to be on the street, you need to be on the street the right way. And in his mind, the right way was to become a member of his life. And he told me to go home, that somebody would be in touch with me, and I was to do what I was told. And that's how things started for me. I met up with the boss of our family. He told me that I'd make a commitment 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to the family, that nothing came before that. And if my mother was sick and dying and I was called to serve the family, I had to leave my mother's side and come and serve the family. And that if I proved myself worthy at some point in time, they'd let me know if I could become a member. And I guess after about a year of being in a pledge period, I proved myself to them, and I was called into a room again Halloween night 1975, and that night I took an oath and became a sworn maid member of the Colombo crime family. It was myself and five other guys that night, and that's how it all started for me.
Well, what's the premise behind your new book?
I was, a little bit different in that life because I had a head for business, and, my dad had always encouraged me. He said, if you want to you know, achieve power in his life. It's all about making money. Money is power. And I was very influenced by that, had a head for business, had a bit of an education, and I knew how to use that life to benefit me in business. And, you know, I was very successful in terms of the mob life in that respect, and that I brought in, you know, several million dollars a week in various business operations that I was into, both legal and illegal. I had, you know, the traditional bookmaking operation. I was pretty heavy into gambling. Had a number of bookmakers working for me. But I also had auto dealerships that I owned. I was in the entertainment industry. I was in the contracting industry, got involved in many different things, and generated money from each. And, you know, I realized later on in life that obviously I was doing business the wrong way because I had kind of a slanted view on things. But I realized that many of the principles that I learned in the mob life doing business could actually be applied to legitimate business if done correctly because, you know, in my view, business is business. And I was asked by a publisher to, you know, to communicate those ideas and the experiences that I had so that people could benefit by that in a legitimate atmosphere. And I think we've been able to do that in the book. You know, we've gotten some good responses from it. And I think some of the experiences that I learned on the street were invaluable in allowing me to be successful, and I'm sure that that could be translated into the business world today because I've been fortunate in my ability to do that in my new career, so to speak.
You make a connection between organized crime and how the government does business.
I'm surprised today at some of the things that I'm seeing. You know, it's like a mob life atmosphere to me in Washington. I mean, I'm not that savvy and certainly not that well informed. I'm not behind the closed doors to see what happens, but I've certainly had enough experience politically during my 17 years on the street with government and the way they operate. And some of the things, to me, it's like a mob-like atmosphere. I mean, even this whole idea with AIG to be able to, you know, within 3 days, tax these bonuses and be able to take that away from them, you know, that frightens me. You know, I'm of the opinion when you give government too much authority, at some point in time it gets abused, and people don't realize that. This might have been done for a specific purpose, but I guarantee that this will set a precedent for things to come later on, and I just don't believe that you should give government that much power in business. I really don't.
What is the biggest lesson in your book that you want readers to remember?
You know, I really believe that you know, there's a right way and a wrong way to do business. There's two different philosophies as far as I'm concerned. When I was in the mob life, I don't know if you ever heard of Machiavelli, but he's kind of the patron saint of the mob, you know, mob life. And he is was an Italian statesman back in the 1600s who wrote a treatise called The Prince. And it was basically advising a prince. And he operated under a philosophy that the end justifies the means and that really everything goes as long as you know, come out looking well. You know, he operated under a philosophy basically that anything goes as long as you can justify it and you achieve the desired result. And that means you have to lie, cheat, and steal, but give the impression that you're an upstanding person, then you do that. I think some of the information that I provide in the book will prove to be very valuable, and I'm already getting that feedback.
Michael Francisi, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Mike, enjoyed the interview and really appreciate it and hope to get back with you again.
But moving on. Here's what's on michaelsavage.com. The lead story to me is Obama's list of domestic terrorists in a so-called fusion center. You're not going to believe this. You have to read the story. It came out on Fox News. You must print it out. From the New York Post, Mumbai terror suspect all smiles in court. He's the Muslim murderer who conducted one of the worst massacres in the history of India. He broke out in laughter today when he was asked by a judge in India whether he understood the charges against him. From the Wall Street Journal, the Boy Scout Geithner and his aides worked with AIG for months on the bonuses. In my opinion, Geithner belongs in an orange jumpsuit, not in a striped pin sight suit. Bonnie Frank, the psychopath, chairman of the Financial Services Committee in the House, said on 365day.com, that our Chief Justice, Antonin Scalia, is a homophobe. Bonnie Frank, you're a psychopathic, verminous toad. You stink. You don't belong in the House. You belong in the big house. From ABC News, JPMorgan Chase to spend millions on jets. and a luxury airport hangar. That's right. J.P. Morgan Chase, the recipient of $25 billion in TARP funds, is going ahead with a $138 million plan to buy two new luxury corporate jets and build a premier corporate aircraft hangar. Go ahead and tell me this is not sad and something to cry over. Of course, the biggest story is that the liberals killed four cops on duty in Oakland because of their rules of engagement. My headline, the new rules of engagement in America for police is die first, shoot later. In my opinion, the ACLU and these cop haters should be tried as accessory to murder. On 60 Minutes, the laughing, bumbling Obama was laughing while talking about the state of the economy, which even made a mainstream reporter, Steve Croft, say to him, "Are you punch drunk, Mr. President?" In Sweden, according to the International Herald Tribune, they say no to saving the car maker Saab. So even in Europe, even in socialist Sweden, enough is enough. But apparently in America, enough is not enough. This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.